Honorable Chaturanga Abhisinghe, you have 12 minutes.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, I think it's a very important debate or a discussion today. I think after 9 months of governance, the new government is reviewing and explaining to the country how the economy has been moving, or how we are moving from stability to growth. I think when you talk about the economy, even with His Excellency President's speech, it was clearly articulated and asked the opposition, tell us a particular indicator that is going in the wrong direction. So when you talk about economy, basically it's been explained and reviewed through measurements. And these measurements will mostly be on economic terms, but there are social and environmental measurements, metrics that tell whether the economy is moving forward in the right direction. But what we know is, for the last 40 years, all these indexes are going away from what it should be. So I need to iterate a little bit to understand, to tell the experts in front, what kind of a country that we have made over the last 30 to 40 years, where we have already made 30% of our population poor or below the poverty line. So we had a widening trade gap, and it was big as $8 billion on an annual basis. That is what our industrial policy or the industrial policies and strategies they conducted happened. And we had a continually increasing fiscal deficit that led us to lot of debt and the crisis that we faced last few years. And we as a country has the highest interest cost compared to government revenue in the world, and one of the highest who can't repay these interest rates. So these are the indicators that we were left with over the past few years, and we were among the lowest tax collecting nations. The tax collection of as a percentage of GDP was 8.5% in 2019, and now we had to use indirect taxes to collect these revenues. That is the root cause of these issues that we faced as a country, and the responsible parties are in front of us who are giving advice to us today. And then in terms of the before the election, if you really look at the opposition claimed or blamed NPP for several things, especially with regard to economy. They basically went on stage and said NPP does not have the skill set or the experience or the expertise to run an economy. They said that foreign investors will run away when NPP comes into power because our flags looks red. And then they thought that there will be another crisis within few months, and some of the opposition said that within 6 months this government will collapse and people will come to streets. And at the same time, the economic experts on the other side said we have no capability of handling IMF, and that the IMF program will collapse. These are the things that they used in stage to tell that NPP is not capable of handling the economy. And also the fear that they mongered among the public, saying that when NPP comes to power that we will take over private assets and we will nationalize all the companies in the country, and these are the lies that they told. And it's not only that, after the government is formed, when we are thriving and we are struggling to fix or stabilize the economy, they use various statements to put fear back onto the people to destabilize this economy. And now what we understand is everything that they've been preaching or they are trying to preach has been proven wrong by this government. Now, Deputy Speaker, now if you really look at the basic fundamentals of a country's economic growth, we need to take lessons from countries like Singapore. I was lucky enough to meet Dr. Kishore Mahbubani last week to share some thoughts from his famous in the economic sphere, talking about rule of law, meritocracy and discipline as a base for country's economic growth. And what we are trying to showcase is that this government is following those paths and those traits. And we really need to ask the opposition, have you ever been able to do meritocracy? If you really look at the advisors to the government, the CEOs of the government state-owned institutions are at that caliber who can run and which has no interest or no affiliation to the politics in that sense. And if you really see Professor Anil Jayanth leading from the front as the Deputy Finance Minister and the Dr. Harshana Suryaperuma, who's doing his part both as a Deputy Minister then and now as the Secretary. These are the examples of meritocracy. And you can see that we also have, as a government, given the merit and the credit to the central bank governor and the people who were handling this process earlier, and it was all on merit. We never had this experience in this history of our country, that the governing parties gave people responsibilities on merit. And then very recently again, I was fortunate to be part of a research finding or a forum conducted by Verity Research. And then at that point, they explained how Sri Lanka is faring based on the assumptions of the debt sustainability analysis of IMF. It was very interesting to see that as a country, we are doing far better than what was predicted for the country, and especially on the government revenue, we are doing better than what was expected, and this year's revenue collections are more than 18% of the previous year. And the primary balance is better than what was expected. And the public debt percentage as a GDP is coming down continuously, and we see we will better the predictions that is predicted for 2029. And only indicator that is away from the original forecast is the interest cost, which is a little high. But if you talk about the exchange rate stability and then the inflation, interest rates and the current account surplus and the official reserves are beating the targets that were given to us. So as that is why we keep on asking, tell us the indicator that indicates that Sri Lanka will derail again, Sri Lanka will fail again. These are the fears that you have in your mind, which you dream in your dreams to fail this government and come to power, and that is not going to happen, we can say. And also, there are certain social indicators that we need to look at, like poverty, employment, and real wages. Yes, we understand they are not improving, and it can't improve in a year. This is a systematic failure that you guys did for over and over again over the decades. So it will take time to trickle down these benefits to the people, and we are pretty sure that the poverty indicators and the rest of the social indicators will improve over a period of time. At that same forum, economist Ms. Subhashini Abhesinghe shared very interesting findings about how small nations can prosper in the world. She brought in examples from small nations like Sri Lanka to tell there were two main factors that for an economy to thrive. One particular factor, for the first time probably I'm hearing in the economic forums, that the good governance and the hygiene has to be the must base for a country to prosper. And I'm happy to say for the last 9 months we have been putting things in place. We are bringing digital technology, we are driving governance. So going forward, the corruption index, the ease of doing index, and then the innovation index and the digital penetration of this country will improve. That will give us the hygiene for businesses to come in and the investors to come in, and also to making an equal level playing field for the business to thrive in Sri Lankan economy. And the second aspect is the access to market. It was discussed that all these small nations had greater access to markets through bilateral and multilateral agreements. Sometimes it's funny to hear that now the opposition is pushing us for that, but then while they were ruling, they had no ability to balance these off, to ensure that we get into these trade agreements. We need to ensure our domestic industry is strong, competitive, and being able to fight with those goods and services. And what we are doing now is parallelly supporting the industry, so making an efficient, productive industry so that we can open up our markets and get into these trade agreements regionally and both globally. I think these two factors will ensure that Sri Lanka moves forward. And another thing that we need to understand, we moved from crisis to stability, but to go to growth. IMF program is also restrictive in certain
Honourable ways. Honourable Chaturanga Abhishinga, you have 2 more minutes.
Thank you. Government expenditure. So with that also, we are trying to prioritise our expenditure to support our industries. We are trying to support the marginalised communities and also ensure that we get into the growth trajectory which we see in the data that we are seeing today. So what do we have today? We have the government expenditure, which is the largest consumer of the economy, spending close to 4 trillion rupees, 1.3 trillion in capital expenditure into the economy. And this is the biggest investment that has happened during the last few years, which is going to grow the economy at a faster rate than we are having today. And in terms of the exports, we have reached an 8.7% increase in the exports, and exports are increasing in a positive way, not in a generic way, but the diversification is happening, the market diversification is happening, the European, the African and the East Asian exports are improving at a higher rate than anybody anticipated, over a 20%. And then the manufacturing index of the country is moving at a higher rate. I'm pretty sure the Ministry of Industries and the Export Development Board is doing the right things to ensure that we have a growth more than 9% in manufacturing. And if you really talk about the private borrowing, it's growing at a 16%. This is nothing that opposition dreamed of, and how NPP economic teams and the industrial teams are managing today's economy is the results that we are seeing today. And if you really take the bond yields, the long-term and the short-term bond yields are converging, which also gives confidence to the investors to say that the stability of this country is secured because the government has a two-third and government is doing the right thing to ensure that the economy thrives forward. And again, the false misinformation about direct investments. We have enough foreign direct investments coming in. Over 4.6 billion inquiries are here with us, and we have secured already 536 million foreign direct investments, which is about 100% growth than the last year compared to. And also, under Ministry of Industries, we have also given approval for 78 factories to start, which will start during this period and the next half of the next year. So here, I'm going to end to say that country is moving forward, economy from stability to growth, and here the request for the opposition is to be part of this journey, because Sri Lanka is transforming. Sri Lanka is transforming in the legal structures, changing the bad political culture, and the government is going after the people who wasted people, public
Honourable
money.
Honourable Chaturanga Abhishinga, your time is up.
Yes, and 10 seconds. So what we are trying to say is, when the country is moving in the right direction, do not pull from our leg and do not make statements which are false and which could lead fear to the investments and the business community. And we are doing it in a very honest way, and also we need the support of the opposition to take Sri Lanka to a growth nation, and we are on the right trajectory, and thank you very much.